Good morning, my friends, from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to a very frosty Monday morning. Or should I just say, a spring-ish morning, as Albert Sommers would call it.
29 to 32-ish, we think.
Don't worry about it too much, though. By Tuesday, we'll be back up in the 50s. Like I always say, all four seasons, sometimes in the same week, and it's spring-ish, so all bets are off. We begin this morning with the same advice I always have for you. Be very careful who you vote for. And its corollary, you're responsible for whatever politicians do because you had the chance to vote for them. The truth is, if you're disappointed with who is in elective office, we have only one group of people to blame, us. In the final analysis, as a result of not having a viable candidate, not doing enough campaigning, or not knocking on enough doors, we are ultimately the ones who are responsible for the dysfunction in Cheyenne. As a former alcoholic, I can tell you that the first step in getting sober is to admit that you have a problem. And if what came out over the weekend is any indication, we continue to have a serious problem with redcoats. Exhibit A, Governor Mark Gordon. On Saturday, he issued a press release saying that he had vetoed several critical pieces of legislation. Among them, House Bill 148, Regulation of Abortions. He said in his veto letter, and I quote, "I am vetoing this bill in an effort to keep our current court case on track for a speedy resolution on the issue of the constitutionality of the Life is a Human Right Act and the prohibition of chemical abortions law. To be clear, safe procedures are essential. However, the way this bill evolved over the session confused the issue, thereby making it vulnerable to challenge." End quote. So now we're legislating according to what the court might or might not do, not according to what is right. Let me just translate the governor's veto message. I don't really want to sign this, and I'm kind of scared the courts are going to rule against me, so I'll just veto it instead of seeing what would happen. And then there's House Bill 125, the Repeal Gun-Free Zones Bill. He had to veto that one too. His excuse? Well, it erodes local control. As if anybody at the local level has any ability to regulate firearms whatsoever. From his veto letter, and I quote, "I'm a fervent supporter of the Second Amendment," end quote. Isn't it funny how all of these politicians that kill good gun legislation always begin their comments with something to the effect of, "I love the Second Amendment. I'm a fervent supporter of the Second Amendment. I, too, love my guns." Uh-huh. "I've been an NRA member for 2,000 years. Or, as Senator Bill Landon said right before they killed House Bill 125 in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
"Believe me, I'm pretty proud of my rating. I'm a Second Amendment guy, just like all the rest of our Wyoming people are. And I would love to be able to support a bill that takes care of that Second Amendment right, but If we don't do something like this, I can't get there."
Ah, yes. "Believe me, I'm proud of my Second Amendment rating. I love the Second Amendment just like everybody else in Wyoming. But I just can't get there unless we do this." Now, this he was talking about is Senator Nancy Case amending the crap out of the bill to a point at which it pretty much did the opposite of what was intended. And then, of course, after they killed House Bill 125 in Senate Judiciary, this is what happened.
"You made me do all that work."
Three no's, two ayes.
So anyhow, any time someone's going to vote against a critical piece of gun legislation or going to veto the bill, they always begin with something like, "I love the Second Amendment. I'm proud of my rating. And then they explain why they're going to trample all over the Second Amendment. I'll tell you about the rest of this after the break. But first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. Doesn't really matter what type of building you've been thinking about for your property, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They're the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So whether it's a backyard building, a garage, or a barn, or a roping arena, or even a giant warehouse, Nick and Jesse are the guys you need to call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Before you go outside, don't forget that it's kind of cold, and you need to make sure that your feet stay nice and toasty warm. The best way you can do that is with a pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. They make the warmest socks that you've ever put on your feet. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to how much Mark Gordon actually loves the Second Amendment. Governor Gordon, in his veto letter, goes on for two paragraphs about how much reverence he has for the Second Amendment. Here's another piece of it. The right to bear arms is not some obscure academic or political principle to my family. It's a real right and responsibility. I've consistently advocated for firearm freedom. Accordingly, this session alone, I've signed numerous blah, 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 blah. And then he explains why he has to kill the bill. Or veto it, rather. Quote, however, House Bill 125 erodes historic local control norms by giving sole authority to the legislature to micromanage a constitutionally protected right. End quote. First, there is no local control where firearms are concerned. Governor Mark Gordon should know that because of one of the bills he signed last year. Senate File 148, Preemption of Local Firearms Regulation. The whole point, and specifically what that bill said, is, quote, preemption of firearms regulation by the state, end quote. In other words, all local ordinances are preempted by whatever the legislature says. Now, the second part of that statement, it erodes norms by giving sole authority to the legislature to micromanage a constitutionally protected right. In order to micromanage something, the person that you're managing has to have the ability to manage it themselves. Hence the whole micromanaging part. But of course, as we just learned from Senate File 148, local municipalities and counties don't have any ability whatsoever to manage the Second Amendment. Not to mention that Governor Mark Gordon specifically promised that he would sign a repeal of gun-free zones during his 2018 election. Oh, how times have changed. Certainly can't offend any of your liberal pals at Harvard now, can we? Anyway, the governor vetoed a whole bunch of bills, and now conservative legislators are calling for a special session to override the governor's vetoes. You see, the legislature took its ball and went home early during this legislative session. In fact, they had 3 days to spare. 3 days in which they could have stuck around in the event that the governor vetoed, I don't know, maybe an important gun bill But they didn't. So now, Senator Sherry Steinmetz and the House Freedom Caucus are calling for a special session. Both of those issued a press release on Saturday. According to the good senator's letter to Senate leadership, she says, and I quote, "Dear President Driscoll, Majority Floor Leader Hicks, and Vice President Kinski, please consider this my formal request that leadership convene a special session or conduct a poll of the membership under Joint Rule 18.1 of the Wyoming Legislature to call itself into special session. How can we truly say that we are a co-equal branch of government if we do not maintain the ability to check the overreach by the executive branch?" End quote. Well, old Augie and Redcoat Speaker of the House Albert Sommers responded this morning with a media release of their own. Very interesting that their press release was sent from FitzgeraldStrategies.com. More on that in a coming episode. But their press release says, and I quote, "We do not recall the legislators who are now clamoring for a special session formally asking us or the chambers to utilize our 3 extra days. The very legislators who are asking for a special session created delay after delay during the budget session by asking for roll call votes, trying to resurrect zombie bills, bringing procedural motions, and filibustering debate. Simply put, they squandered precious time in a budget session where time is our enemy. We had plenty of time in our established calendar to pass bills and do veto overrides. In fact, we created a calendar where budget debate began on the first week of the session, for the very purpose of having enough time to resolve our differences in a conference committee or do veto overrides on the budget." End quote. It's interesting that they say, well, you know, all the people asking for a special session, they squandered all of our time, even though we have 3 extra days. Interesting that in their press release, they don't say no, because as I read Joint Rule 1811, they can't. And secondly, the very first thing they list as a reason why all of this time was wasted is conservative legislators were asking for too much transparency by requesting roll call votes. If we could just dispense with all of this transparency stuff, we could get our work done a lot quicker. The back and forth has begun. As I read Joint Rule 18.1, it requires 35% of the elected members of the legislature to call for a vote on having a special session, and then it requires a majority of elected state legislators to call for the special session. That would be 47 votes. So really, it's not up to Albert and Augie on whether we have a special session or not. It's up to your elected representatives. So if you think that we should try to override the veto of Senate File 54 or House Bill 125 or House Bill 148, then you need to call your legislator and tell them to vote for it. That's the only way any of this is going to happen. So get on the horn, call your senator and representative. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.